is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance. Well, we think Lance. He's looking for headphones right now. Remember when we used to have headphones every day, Del?
Don't you have your headphones every day?
I got my headphones every day.
I have my headphones every day. Remember when...
You got your card to get in?
I always have that. Probably once in, I don't know, 10 years since I've worked
I think
here.
I forgot mine once.
Yeah. Well, we have someone who does it on the reg.
Right before the show, when the music starts, he goes, oh, where's my headphones?
I don't know. I mean, Lance, maybe invest in some.
Oh.
Well, see, the problem is with him and headphones, he would treat the same way he treats his card. He would forget that, you know, it's a tool of, you know, working here, so he'd forget to bring them.
Yeah. Well, it's just, that's our boy. He was, he went to the march yesterday, which was awfully nice.
Shout out to him for actually remembering and going.
Yeah, and finding it.
Yeah.
Well, and finding it, right? He knew where downtown was, which was awesome. He found it. He was able, he went, he said he stayed back away from people. People started to get close in on him when they got to City Hall, and he backed off. He and Drake went. Drake came down from the Woodlands, and they went together, and it was a nice father and son experience for the two of them, which was nice. And here he is.
Welcome to the show.
Got some headphones, since people stealing from the studio so now, much.
I mean, maybe this is a question I shouldn't ask, but I have John brings his own. There's a dedicated pair in here, so I don't have to bring mine. Did you ever think of purchasing some for yourself and just having a personal pair of earbuds or headphones?
I have done that in the past, and then I've noticed it doesn't do any good.
Why doesn't it do any good? Like, I keep mine with me.
People always take them.
No, out of your backpack or something? They take them?
They go in there.
Who steals them? Who is this? Fred?
Who I think it is? Eric Sandler.
You think?
Eric Sandler? Why is he going in?
No one knows.
Why is he rifling in your bag?
Yeah.
That's a joke. I haven't seen Eric in, like, he hasn't been in here for, he hasn't been in here for, like, 3 months. There's a lot of people from Culture Map who I haven't seen. Steven Devin Dam.
Yeah.
Like, all of them. I've been in here sporadically during quarantine, pretty much very rarely, other than when I did shows and I didn't have good internet speed. But, yeah, so anyway, headphones are hard to find. So,
no,
yeah,
they're not that hard to find. There's a lot of headphones.
No, the stores are sold out.
No, they're really not. They're really, there's headphone stores. Just go to the airport. Clorox You'll see wipes. A bunch of headphones.
Even dispensers.
I'm not paying for $150 headphones.
I know,
those
are.
Go to CVS. You can get
what
some
cheaper there.
They're
sold out.
No, they're not.
So, go to Pete's Fine Meats. I'm sure Michael has some there. He sells, they even sell them there. Okay.
Man, you don't have headphones?
Like, what?
No, you have headphones too?
Yes. I'm sure he does. He's got a lot of stuff.
Bacon, eggs, produce.
Oh, hey, dude. I got some of the bacon.
His bacon is
spectacular.
No, so I did go. It was warm yesterday in Houston, Texas. It was a little warm. And went out there. And I got to say, I went out there with the idea that I take the coronavirus stuff pretty serious. And I don't think my wife was super crazy about me going. But I felt like, because she's usually the one who's going to be in a march somewhere. For me, I wanted to just, I know Drake's had a hard time with some of the imagery he's seen, some of the videos. And you see some of the just violent videos and some of the just horrific videos. And it starts to have an impact on you. And I wanted him to come experience, because Drake's friends are primarily people of color. That's how it's been where he's worked. And I didn't want him to get to the point where he's seeing this and everything that, you know, he sees the 2% videos or the 1% videos. Like, you know, it's easy if you're on social media to just sit and watch any video. Because you know what's not going to be the videos that are just normal people just walking in the streets and being peaceful. That's not going to go viral. That's boring. If it bleeds, it leads, baby.
Hmm.
So, you know, I deleted Twitter off my phone, off my iPad. I'll use it during the show here, but I don't need to have that kind of stress right now. it's stress. Life is stressful enough right now with everything that we have, everything that we have. And so I wanted Drake to make sure, I wanted him to come down and be part of this and see, because I know that's what he stands for and believes in anyway. And so I wanted him to be part of it. And Bun, I said something to Bun about Drake. He said, have Drake come with us. Well, I want him to be part of our march, and he's going to be safe. You know, he had worries about, what's going to happen? I'm like, just everything's going to be fine. Police are going to be involved. Bun and Trey are doing this. It's, you know, it's, and he's Mr. Kickboxing, like impulsive, you know, guy who will get into it easily. And he's worried that Antifa's going to jump him or something. I was like,
I don't think there's a lot of people that Antifa might, but I think they'll.
No. Antifa will jump whatever potentially, but.
Yeah, well, yeah. Guess what? Then they're going to get their ass kicked.
Well, and that's what I said. Look, it's not going to happen.
I've always thought,
certainly not during the day.
I've always, I think that sometimes idiots are selective too. We're going to go. You know what? I don't think I'm going to go after that big guy over there.
They're not.
I think
stupid.
I'm going to go after somebody that's a little easier.
Yeah, they're not stupid. Drake is not an easy target.
No.
So anyway, he went down, and I wanted him to see. This is what life really is. This is who people really are. And it was good. I just felt it was important for me as a dad to do that, and you know, to show support for something I do believe in. And, you know, I don't talk about a lot of stuff, and I just don't think it's a political issue anyway. Believing in the rights of people, you know, if you do something wrong, you should be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't die. It's that simple.
Yeah,
I was like, you said it best, and it really. I said, you know what? If John can speak on it, I can speak on it too, because this is really stupid. And I don't know any sane person who has I haven't spoken or heard anything where any sane person says anything positive about that video.
No.
And there have been, and I have seen the other videos where this is the most egregious that I've seen probably, but there's been way too many egregious videos, and it's just you know, no one's saying let's do away with. I'm not saying, you know, I see the stupid stuff. Abolish police. I mean, you would want that.
No,
they actually did. So what things need to be cleaned up and things need to be taken care of. But I know that there are good policemen. I've seen them. I saw them yesterday here in Houston, and mostly I just want to be part of something that was positive about making a needed change. Let my son see it. Support Bun and Trey and what they were doing, and then support the city, because I feel like, to me, I've always been very proud of what the city stands for, and especially who the city has become over the years from living here, you know, the whole time. And yesterday I was proud again. Now, there were more than 10 people in one area.
You think that with 60,000 people in a march, there were more than 10 people?
There were more than 10. Now, on the path, and the path wasn't that long from the start to
it wasn't that long.
No. We jumped in. It was you had to find a place to park, and then we jumped in the middle, and there was plenty of room. There was plenty of room around me. You weren't shoulder to shoulder at all. I kept my distance. Whenever you got to City Hall, I went to the. I was like, okay, this feels like this is gonna be where I need to really make smart decisions about where to stand, because it's going to be a little crowded. So went way off to the flank, and when that started to fill up, like, okay, let's go even further back. So I don't know if anyone was in 10 feet of me, to be honest, at any one point, because I still take that very seriously. Drake doesn't take it as seriously because he's a young guy and thinks that he's – I'm like, yeah, you're a young guy with asthma. He thinks he's actually had it. But he still was wearing a mask. Most of the people there, I'd say over 70% of the people there, probably closer to 80, were wearing masks. It was peaceful. There was some tension at times. I didn't see it. I saw it more on TV. I stayed until after Bun was done talking and then got to my car and left. I know there were people there who waited a lot longer, helped some people carry some water from time to time. But it was good. It was a peaceful protest. Not saying there weren't tensions at times, I guess. Later on in the evening, but my experience was positive in the experience and the energy, man, the energy while Bun is talking, especially Bun with his voice, he's got this big booming voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when he starts talking, It was just, it's almost like a concert. The feeling of energy that's flowing from an audience that he feeds off of. And so it was good to be a part of that and just to stand for something. I mean, you know, just stand for something. Yeah. Even if you don't feel, you know, just stand for something. Just stand for whatever you think is right. Just do that. Yeah. It's okay. We're all into sports, and me and John aren't going to get in a lot of political talks or do whatever. But it is okay to stand for something.
That was a good day for Houston yesterday, that's for sure.
I thought so.
That's for sure. 200 arrests, some rocks thrown. Nobody was hurt, which was nice. With 60,000 people in the agitated state, I imagine some of it was planted. Some of them just there to cause some trouble of the 200 arrests. But others probably maybe got a little emotional or whatever.
Very good restraint and patience when people were a little frustrated with them. So I saw a couple of instances, weren't major, but they were really, really good at just listening and not agitating at all. Seems like wherever I see the biggest issues, you have some bad actors in terms of people who start stuff throwing projectiles.
Well, rioting and looting.
There's no question. That typically happens in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just close together, it's like there's usually one guy on the police side that'll get a little frisky, and then you know, you got people waiting for something like that to happen. Man, Houston police were really, really sharp about it. Art Acevedo did a nice job.
He did a great job. And you know, I didn't say this yesterday, but we had Al Rosen on. And yesterday, the constable, and he was, you want to talk about, and he talked, Dell asked, and he said, what about young people? And he meets with young people. He does it twice a year where there's tensions, and at the beginning and then by the end. And you hear him talking, and you hear a lot of people talking and saying things that I really believe this, and I would just want to talk, and I want conversation, and we really, really try, and I believe in all the, that is Al all the time.
Yeah.
I've known Al for years. That wasn't what he gave us yesterday. And if you haven't heard it, it's on the podcast yesterday, right, Del? Del put it up yesterday. That is Al all the time. He is always trying to, and those are the kind of leaders that we need. And I believe Art Acevedo, and I know somebody put out something about, there was, I don't know, something, Art Acevedo did this or Art Acevedo did that. I don't know. I forget what it was. Somebody tweeted out, yeah, you guys behind Art Acevedo, and he did this.
There's going to be somebody looking to discredit.
There's always something.
That's
always.
Why if you go viral in a good way, somebody's looking to discredit.
But I firmly believe that he believes what he's saying.
Art or Al?
Both of them.
Yeah, both.
Both of them.
Al was, you put me in contact with him when, so McCool, who I really have so much love and respect for, McCool and Kelly Canabar, who have a house here. They own the Phoenix in Belize. Their island is being devastated by the lack of tourism, and they don't have the medical stuff, so they have to be on lockdown all the time. And they've opened back up. They haven't had a positive case for 50 days now.
Mm-hmm.
No new cases for 50 days, and they're still being very, very safe. But they're the ones that that company helped send us to New York, as a matter of fact, to cover the Astros playoffs this year. But you know, when he was donating stuff, that's how I got to know him, was during Hurricane Harvey. He reached out on social media and said, hey, I want to, you know, he gave a $500 donation for when I was collecting money to go get supplies from Targets and all that stuff and bring them to different areas. And he was donating his Texans tickets. And Jerry Bowe from right here at the station, when he lost, you remember, he didn't have homeowners insurance.
Yep.
Lost everything. And, I got with Al. He said, I want to give. So the first tickets he gave for the Astro or for the Texans games, and like we did a limo with Black Horse. Justin stepped up. We did this for first responders, and Al picked out a couple of first responders who were on the scene, literally, who saved lives. Man, I got to know Al a little bit. Great. I mean, just great. Not what I thought of at all as a stereotypical,
no,
you know, constable who's in charge of.
He's
it's
just
not that way at all.
Nicest guy. And he really believes what he was saying yesterday. And listen to it. He was on at 9:30 yesterday morning. If you're looking for it on the podcast, we had Constable Al Rosen on with us. All right, 7:15 ESPN 97.5. One thing Al doesn't do, he doesn't drink, which is, this is odd for him to be a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink at all.
I was wearing my Blackland Distillery shirt out and about yesterday. I just want to say, listen, when this is done, we need to hydrate.
We do.
And one of the best ways is with vodka.
Very important.
And vodka can help you. Vodka can help you hydrate. As long as you add a tremendous amount of some other hydrating liquid with it. Well, I can tell you this. Blackland Distillery, we're sending it out to our guests on the Off-Script podcast. And Michael Kelly from House of Cards, Jack Ryan, he got his. He said, man, you guys are a classy effing podcast. This is amazing bourbon. I said, you're welcome, Michael Kelly. The bourbon is award-winning. The vodka is award-winning. The gin and the rye will be when they have the awards come out for that as well. You're talking about a distillery that goes grain to glass. So they don't bring their alcohol in from a secondary group like about 85% of the companies out there do. They are making their own base alcohol, and then the processes they use are top-notch. I mean, they are high-tech, and in some cases, they are mega-traditional. And what you have is one of the most distinctively original spirits in all four bottles, vodka, gin, bourbon, and rye, that you are going to find in the United States. And they are right here in Texas. Texas Distillery, going grain to glass. Make sure that you demand Blackland Distillery when you go into your liquor store if they're not carrying it. Blacklanddistillery.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, your league is taking it. Your league is taking it. Okay. Nice job, Raj. Good job. Congratulations.
Nobody wants to abolish the NFL more than John Granato.
No, I don't want to abolish the NFL. Just Roger Goodell. I'm not a big fan.
What did he do to you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the league is taking it. Oh, NFL Goodell fumble chance to lead yet again with their...
I saw Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't know what they expect.
Anthony Barr came after him.
And Michael Kendricks or
yeah, Eric Kendricks, yeah.
What do they want Goodell to do? That's not enough, Roger. But what exactly?
I don't know.
All Roger Goodell can
give
do.
Give his $44 million a year salary to the cause. That's what they want him to do.
Probably.
That's probably. Hey, Dell, these headphones magically appeared in here. There was a set of headphones that just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. Did you see that?
No. Well, I remember bringing those headphones in for Lance yesterday.
Those are broke-ass headphones, though.
No, they were sitting right here.
Look.
As Lance was
we know
it's flying around
the
station.
No, they were on the ground. They were on the ground over there.
Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, well then. Yeah. Oh, someone disrespected them then.
Do you, were the headphones kneeling or were they placed in a kneeling position? You were aware that the preparation for Lance to get ready for a show is an outright embarrassment, right? As far as when he gets here, between the time he gets here and when he's ready to go.
Somebody's salty because they had to come let me in today.
Yeah, so, that's part of it. Yeah, it's embarrassing
because
for you. You're a grown man.
My access card was stolen.
No, it wasn't.
No, your access card
Who's
wasn't
stealing
stolen.
Stealing your access card?
Who stole it?
Somebody who wants to get
who
whatever
stole it?
Trade
oh,
secrets.
Oh, someone at the march?
No, somebody who wants to get trade secrets from our company.
What trade secrets?
Some of the culture map and automotive map stuff.
What?
You can learn about how to have an automotive map.
What? What's trade secrets are they looking for? Ken Hoffman's way of interviewing people, send them questions and have them answer them? In an email? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Have them answer their own questions?
Yeah.
That's what Ken Hoffman does.
A lot of inside baseball going on this segment.
What are you talking about?
So,
I really don't know what Roger Goodell can do right now.
No.
Honestly, don't.
Well, I think because of the whole Kaepernick thing that this is why. I mean, he's going to catch it. He's always going to catch it. So, I mean, and especially now. Oh, shut up, NFL. Stay out of this one, okay? Because you guys canceled Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. So, stay out of this one. But I had somebody say, where have the Rockets with Tillman and Mike D'Antoni and Bill O'Brien and, you know, Cal McNair, and then they mentioned Dusty Baker and who's the GM now?
James something.
James Click.
Yeah.
Where are they? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, have they mentioned, or owners, I'm sorry, Jim Crane. Jim Crane or Dusty Baker. Yeah. He said, where are they? He goes, have they made any statements? I said, I mean, the first thing, I'm not really looking for statements from the from our pro teams. So it's not really something I was, and I mm-hmm. said, no, I don't think so. And after what has been happening with San Francisco 49ers, they did the blackout tile yesterday that you saw on Instagram. And
they caught it.
Yeah, it was an Eric Reed that first put them on blast about, oh, you know, they said Black Lives Matter. And, you know, they immediately got in trouble for the Kaepernick stuff. But did you see the play-by-play announcer of Sacramento?
Yeah.
Yeah, people are done. I think you're going to see no one comment on anything because it is. I think that one, that's kind of ridiculous that that guy has resigned and they put him on administrative leave. Boogie Cousins goes, what are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter? To a play-by-play announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the play-by-play announcer, here, let me give you the new, let me give you your new protocol. Don't answer any questions that you feel like could get you in trouble on social media. Just don't. Because if your answer is not, that's a no-win situation
well,
for that guy.
Well, I think that, dude.
Some 60-year-old guy who just said, well, he goes, I think it's terrible or whatever. And he said, I think.
DeMarcus Cousins. Well, DeMarcus Cousins. This tweet says DeMarcus Cousins was playing chess while Grant Napier is playing checkers.
Oh, I think there had to. He had to be.
Well, yeah. No, he
why would he?
Absolutely knew. DeMarcus Cousins absolutely knew what was going to happen here. Mm-hmm. He tweeted to Grant Napier. Now, Grant Napier, when Boogie Cousins was traded, Grant Napier tweeted out, trading DMC was an absolute no-brainer. There has been a dark cloud over this franchise for years. That cloud is now gone. That's when Boogie was traded.
Yeah.
So Boogie, out of nowhere, says, hey, Grant, what's your take on Black Lives Matter?
He goes, hey, buddy. What is it? Where you read the exact things? He goes, hey, I thought you exactly. forgot about me.
Yeah,
yeah, well, he goes, hey, how are you? Thought you forgot about me. Haven't heard from you in years. All lives matter. Every single one. And scene.
And that's it. Fired.
Now, well, he was put on administrative leave and then resigned, right?
Yeah. Well.
Maybe the same.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever.
That feels like, what do you agree? That should not be enough for him to lose
Tillman
his
tweeted
job.
Out a black, just all black, blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, they did it on Twitter too?
I guess.
I thought it was just Instagram.
Well, apparently Grant Napier, other Kings players were like, well, we saw this coming because Chris Webber was like, hey, man, we tried to tell people in the Kings organization about this guy. They just ignored us. So this,
yeah.
at least
well, Boogie, from, yeah, it's probably something.
From former Kings players, this appears to be something that Grant, they felt about Grant Napier for quite a while, whatever that something is.
I just believe that there should be a free, because of how he worded it, he did not make it. People now have taken that and said that's a racist commentary. Your commentary is based on how you are. What is the sentiment behind it, or your And I think we have to be very careful about limitations on.
I didn't know
speech.
That was a racial slur. If you want to know the truth, I guess that's a response to any anyone who says Black Lives Matter.
Yes,
that's just a dismissing.
It's been casually swept into. Well, that's now a racist comment, and it's not. There are people who might say that with that intent. And I understand that. It is, there is still a basic primary freedom of speech element here that he should be able to say that and not lose his job. Because then you're dealing with a very strict censorship that people claim to be against.
He had the freedom to say it. He also has the freedom to lose his job.
Yeah, but I don't think that was something that was meant to be incendiary or combative or anything like that.
No. And I don't. He probably didn't know that that is dismissive to the black community.
I don't think he probably did.
I
didn't until today.
I think he's a big liberal 60-year-old play-by-play announcer? Probably not.
Well, according to the former Kings, he isn't. And I think when you respond in that
nor
way.
Nor does he have to be, though.
No, I'm not saying he has to be. Right. But now he caught it and he's done.
Yeah.
But I think in this particular situation or just a situation overall, when someone, whether Boogie was obviously baiting him or asking a legitimate question, when you respond, when a black person, particularly in this time, asks you, what do you think of Black Lives Matter? And your response is, well, I think all lives matter. That's not, first of all, it appears you're ignoring the stakes when you respond that way. Because, well, yeah, the obvious thing is everyone's lives matter.
Right.
But in this particular instance, we're talking about a movement and in a timeless country that movement's pretty damn out in the open and in front of people, and the response seems a little trite to me.
Well, that's true. However, I think Boogie baited him.
He certainly did, because Kings players knew about this alleged
guy. I know, and it's almost entrapment, if you want to know the truth, because this guy probably didn't know that all lives matter is actually now.
Well, he said every period, single period, one, right. And you could look at that and saying, and he is speaking specifically of this incident in a positive way. Boogie, it is entrapment. Boogie got that guy, helped get that guy out of a job.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because that guy said that Boogie was, a while ago when he was traded, that he was
so
a...
What?
He was, well, but Boogie wanted...
Boogie was an a-hole. Boogie. Yeah, he was.
Well, but Boogie doesn't think so. Boogie thinks he's a great guy. And Boogie said, watch this. I'm going to go Michael Jordan on him. I remember that tweet you sent, Grant. Watch this. I'm going to get you fired. And he did.
Wow. Petty schmetty, but
that's well, really? After you watch Michael Jordan's documentary?
Yeah. Oh no, Mike is the pettiest.
Oh no, guess what? Mike would have done
of
to him
all time.
Mike would have got him canceled too.
Yeah, and I don't know what the Kings knew beforehand about Grant Napier, but I just keep going back to multiple Kings players are like, that's who this guy is. Whatever that might mean about that's who this guy is. They weren't surprised that he will respond to a Black Lives Matter question with all lives matter. So maybe Grant Napier's naive and we're giving him the benefit of the doubt, or he knew exactly what it meant.
So what are you trying to say?
That's the case. But Grant did not know that was a racist response.
Too bad. Gotcha.
How do we know? Yeah, right.
I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not a fan
stuff.
Of that either.
Well, what did he think about Jason Williams then? Answer what he thought about Jason Williams.
I don't know what he thought about Jason Williams.
Do you think he was conflicted?
I don't know. Well, I don't know what he thought about.
What?
I don't know.
Jason Williams!
Wait a minute, you can't like white chocolate either?
Good pass, a little bit fancy for me, but basket for the Kings. Like, did you say, you know, I wish Jason would start making maybe a little safer bounce
chest
pass.
How about a chest pass once in a while, Jace? Hey, why don't you call
Jason Williams? Ah, fancy move. Boy, a lot of fancy moves right now going on by Jason Williams. Yeah, to get this cleaned up. I don't know who the color commentator is at all.
I don't know.
I think he used to be Jim Cosimore, who used to be in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
The color guy? Mm-hmm. Really?
He used to be with Matt Thomas.
Yeah, and he... Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't know that. What famous Kings player would it be? Mitch Richmond?
Mike Woodson? I don't know. I don't know who it would be. Is Mitch more famous for being Sacramento or Golden State?
Golden State.
I feel like Golden State, but Mitch Richmond was the deal on Sacramento.
Yeah.
Who's this famous Sacramento player?
Vlade.
But he left. Vlade, but
he can't
speak.
He still
got Laker. Like,
Vlade?
Oh, not Draz.
No.
Not Petrovic. Who was the other shooter that could shoot the eyes out of the ball? For Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He went to Orlando. Or came from Orlando, too, there. What was his name?
He's talking about?
The international player. Sacramento.
Yeah, Orlando and Sacramento.
Who? Not Hedo. The two guard.
I was thinking of Hedo.
Either Peja? Peja
Stojakovic.
Yeah.
Peja is who I was thinking of.
Drazen died, right?
So Peja is the one, because Peja could shoot the eyes out too. Peja, like, is making very, very sneaky passes. I played with white. Wait a minute. I still play with white chocolate right now. Why are you asking me as color commentator? I'm on the team with white chocolate. Remember? Maybe it's Doug Christie.
Oh, Doug Christie.
Doug Christie would do
that.
Yeah,
but his wife would be right next to him.
I know.
Every broadcast.
And Grant Napier here, Napier here again with color commentators, Doug Christie and his wife. Guys, this is going to be a heck of a game for the Kings today. What do you think, Christie?
What about Doug Christie? That's what he's most remembered for. His wife, he and his wife. 732 ESPN 97.5.
He did the TV segment.
I know.
No one told him to do that real sports segment.
Wasn't it his wife who said he could have an affair once a year? Mm. No, not Doug Christie.
I don't feel like that's Doug
Christie. No.
Wife.
Who was it? Oh, AK-47.
Yeah, it was Kirilenko.
Yeah, Kirilenko. And speaking of which, John Clay Wolf is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Wouldn't you like that from your wife? Just once a year you can have an affair?
She's right here next to me.
Honey, oh, she is?
Can you give me that for Christmas?
Never mind then. You can answer that question later. In the meantime, what is good? Did you see? We had a nice, wonderful march yesterday here in the city of Houston. And you know what else is happening, John Clay Wolf? Is people need to sell their cars. That's what else is happening.
This is true. We're obviously the best buyer in the country because if anybody has a dealer friend that they know that likes to watch cars and wants to watch these marching girls this morning at 9:30 at the Dallas Auto Auction, we've got 600 cars selling in four lanes.
Okay.
And let me rattle some of these off. Granado, it's the coolest stuff we've ever had. 15 Hellcat, 2012 CTSV, which is the wagon version, a stick shift. So it's a CTS wagon with a Corvette engine.
Oh, nice.
It's a stick shift. It's super rare, cool. We've got, you know, a 19 Power Stroke. Cummins Limited. 07 Z06 with 11,000 miles. I got some heavy stuff. Two GT4 Boxsters and two GT3 911s, a 19 Porsche Turbo with 6,000 miles on it, a 98 Porsche Turbo, an 08 Porsche Turbo, a Shelby, the 457, a little Shelby car. You know the one?
So yeah. Where can you watch this online?
Watch it online, but you have to. It's Mannheim, Dallas, so you have to be a dealer to get in.
Okay. Well, you want to give out your password to everybody?
I can't do that right this time. Right. That would probably screw it. 2020 Corvette, the new body, a 3LT orange one. Ferrari Italia. I've got three of those. I've got two Huracans.
I've got
two Gallardos. It'll be, you know, it's just, we're just, looks it's, like a bunch of drug dealers.
Yeah, well, stop bragging.
I'm excited. I mean, it's cool. It's like,
but we don't get to watch it. We don't get to see none of it. Like, you have to be a dealer. You have to be special. Whatever.
You have car dealer friends. I mean, just get a login so we can watch it. It's really about 11 o'clock is when those heavy cars will be sold. About 10:30 in lane 18.
Lane 18. Got.
Yep.
Hey, we got to break it here. Tell everybody, givemethevin.com. Buy your car. You want to sell a car to John Clay Wolf? It doesn't matter. Look at all those really, really, really nice cars. He's buying them right now at givemethevin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This just in.
Josh Innes, Rich Lord, back together again for one day only.
One day only.
Listen as the two reunite on the Josh Innes Show this Thursday from 2 to 4. Only on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back to 737 ESPN 97.5. Welcome back from the John Clay Wolf Show here, a car show. He's just naming all these cars. I have no idea what any of them are. I know what a 2020 Corvette is. I know what that is. But it seemed like a lot of words that he was saying. That to me, it seemed like a lot of words. Who's in there laughing? Did you hear that laugh?
Friday.
Was that Young Friday? Friday's out there?
Yeah. We've got interns back.
About 20 of them all together.
We have brand new interns, as a matter of fact, that we hear from.
Well,
Houston, Texas. Yesterday, I met Sam Houston, Texas Wesleyan, HBU. We got cornerback from HBU. St. John's High School. I'm forgetting the last college.
What? What's with the shaking head? That's Gow High School.
I'm aware.
Yeah, that's Gow High School. That's where the smart kids go, Gow.
They all have a particular look.
It's not the look. It's how smart they are.
Yes, inquisitive.
They dress pretty much dress the same.
Yeah.
Wrinkled cargo shorts and a barely ironed polo and some and some topsiders. Yeah. And some white ankle socks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. As opposed cool. to a t-shirt and a hat.
I'm not wearing a hat.
Okay. The LBGT.
Yeah. Whatever
hat.
Happened to your remember when you were going full collars all the time?
What do you mean whatever?
Yeah.
Happened?
You used I'm to sorry. Come in with a collar shirt on.
Whoa. Why are you bearing the lead? Dell's representing the Astros.
I know.
Today.
How about that?
Kiss I'm proud my of you, Dell.
I don't care about whether you're proud of me or
do
not.
Do the H no, thing yeah. where you're doing it for
kiss
the Astros.
Kiss my asterisk. That's I got that shirt too. It's a great shirt.
Yeah, it's an awesome feel. I don't know who makes it, but it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it does. It fits right. That's
yeah.
a good shirt.
I'm just thrilled about the level of quality we're going to get from this crop of interns.
What? Young Friday's in there teaching them.
Friday's from a different generation.
Yeah,
but he can teach the youngsters.
He gets stuff
Look,
done.
All I am saying,
he's turning into old Friday.
That's a bad joke by you. All I am saying is since we had some movement in staff, interns have dropped in quality. That's all I'm saying.
Hmm.
You so don't
you
know
think
about
Tyler's not doing his job. Well.
I don't know if it's
is
Tyler.
Is that what you just
I
said?
I don't know who's interviewing who, but the interns have dropped in quality.
I don't think there's an interview process.
The last crop of interns.
I want to get my kid in there. Okay.
The last crop of exactly. interns was not great.
No.
What are you talking about?
The last crop of interns.
Why? We had Young Friday.
He was before them, too, I believe.
Yeah.
He's been here quite a bit.
Oh yeah, he is. He's gone through a couple. That's right. Timmy Jernigan won't be a Texan.
Well, that's yeah. his business.
Yeah. Well, apparently they came to terms, and then they didn't sign the contract, and they said, "No, we don't. We
one,
don't
two,
want
three,
to."
No backs.
He agreed to a 1 year, $3.75 million deal on April 1st, but now the Texans are evaluating other veterans.
I wonder what happened
for the. I don't know.
Because if you're Timmy
he just tweeted out and
signed.
Said, I guess I ain't going to be a Texan.
Well, I guess you're not getting paid this year.
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, you sure this
it'll
is
be
on him and not
be,
on
it'll be less than 3.7.
The Texans?
It'll be less than 3.7. You had a chance to get free agency done before pandemic got a little deep. So I can tell you now, he ain't going to catch 3.7 for a year. It'll be lower than that.
Guess I'm not going to Houston, player. But the show not over. OVA. That's a hard, that's a soft A.
Nobody cares right now about the right now third level free agents because here's the problem: they all want level one money, like Devontae Freeman, Cam, or at least they have. You know the guys with names who have ability.
I think Cam's a different story, but okay.
Well, he could be, but he's not gonna. No one's gonna give him money. Well, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
He's a different story in that he's a disruptor to what. Well, unless you if you have a quarterback that's iffy and you bring Cam in.
Well, he's a disruptor in the sense that not on an individual level.
No,
on
no,
a,
no.
What it's going to mean to
your yeah,
yeah. But that's you know that cuts both ways because he's probably better than the quarterbacks on those teams. But then again, you also know that that's probably not your long term solution.
Right.
Does Cam want to be a bridge quarterback? I it's really interesting to see what Cam's agent or Cam feel like is a good fit for them. Are they okay with the 1 year deal? Because they're going to have to be. There aren't going to be any other deals yeah. for Cam Newton, unless somebody wants him to be a starter. And when you look at the quarterback situation, this is kind of a rare moment in football history where we have a lot of younger quarterbacks plugged into, plugged into positions with teams.
Yeah.
And we've got some younger ones, you know, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston came out of the same draft and they're now backups and they were picks,
one
you know,
two.
One and two. Yeah. And yep. now they're backups elsewhere. So, and I say that meaning that's you know that's quality backup.
Oh yeah, so no, I don't think the quarterback position's ever been better in the league than it is right now. Because there were always teams that oh my goodness, look at that! You it's rare to find a team now that at least doesn't have the guy in place. Like in Miami is Fitz going to start?
There's no guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've got Tua in play. I mean, it's
but Tua
it's
isn't
team
be ready, is he for the beginning?
Well, who well, knows? But they're not ruling it out. If he's healthy, they'll give him every shot to play.
Well, that'll be interesting to see whether or not with the hip and everything else, whether or not they're gonna do that. If I was them, I'd let him. Let's wait some more.
As long as the doctors say he's good to go and he can't get any more healthy, they're gonna give him a shot.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I could see that too. You know, let them go and see what happens. But look at every team. You're right. Look at every team. And I do believe that Jarrett Stidham has got a real shot to be the Patriots' long-term answer.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does. I think from a talent standpoint, he definitely does. My concerns with him, because I watched him the year before, and then I watched him last year. He's just a no. So I watched him in 18, and then I watched him in 19. The talent is phenomenal. Art Briles calls him the most talented quarterback that he ever recruited. Yeah. Period. Period. And you see him make some throws, but I'll just, in just all perfect honesty, my biggest concern after watching David Carr is I realize that once you get rattled, once you get spooked by the pocket getting hot, and you start to drop your eyes, that's something I just don't know that changes. Once it hits you, I feel like that's kind of who you are.
Blaine Gabbert.
His protection was so – yeah, Blaine Gabbert was a bad one. His protection was so bad in 2019 – I'm sorry, 2000 – last year was 19. 2018. His protection was in 2018 was so bad at Auburn that he even told me one of his first reads was like his tackle position. It was one of my first reads is right tackle, I think he said. And he meant it as a joke, but also like – my first read isn't, you know, at the wide receivers and the safeties. My first read is like my offensive line. And when that's the case, you wonder if they can get out of it. Now, if you protect him, I think Jared Stidham has a chance to be a pretty good passer. But in the NFL, you really have to self-protect. You just have to, because teams always have the ability to send more than you can block. They always can. So self-protecting is getting rid of the ball quickly. It's being able to get to certain protections by yourself, making calls, which is he is very smart. I do think Jared Stidham has a legitimate chance. And I think Bill Belichick probably thinks he has a chance too and wants to see for sure. If you're ever going to hit reset, now's the time to do it. Expectations are low for the Patriots relative to what they've been in the past.
Not there, though. Not with them, it's not. But, yes, expectations. Yeah. Well, our expectations are.
Of course, I say that. Go look at the Vegas odds.
Yeah.
Aren't they still pretty decent odds for the Patriots?
Yeah, and it's what is their eight? Are they 8.5?
Well, that's insane. If they're that with basically a rookie quarterback, that would be insane.
And Vegas, I think that a lot of people are taking the under.
Vegas Insider. This is updated right now. The New England Patriots, okay, 25-1. That feels more realistic. Oh, no. This is February 7th. They gone down?
What would
they have done for their odds?
Oh no, because everybody was taking the under.
No odds to win. No, that was February. That was the odds, 25-1. Here's current odds. Thelines.com. I don't even know what this website is, but current odds as of this is 2-7. I'm not interested.
No. All right, what you are interested in, though, is in insurance. And when we come back, we'll take a look at that.
TGS Insurance is such an important company because your homeowner's insurance is essential. And right now, I'm thinking about adding flood insurance. We've never flooded through any of the hurricanes and floods. And I got the quote for flood insurance, and it was reasonable. And for the next 6 months, I may add a separate flood insurance policy. I'm going through TGS Insurance. You text money to 232323. And what they'll do for you is you can get a homeowner's quote, a standard homeowner's quote with A-rated insurance within 15 seconds. Yeah, I said seconds. You text money, the word money, to 232323, and they will get back with you, give you a quote on once you give them your property address. And you can decide from there whether or not that's something you want to continue with. There's no strings attached. And it's really awesome because they will give you the opportunity to purchase a separate flood insurance, which, if you didn't know, that is a separate insurance, and they've got rates for you there as well. And if you're worried about your bundle and you wanted them to shop car, they can do that as well. TGSinsurance.com. They're your solution for getting A-rated insurance at lower rates, at rates that are more what the market rate is and not the elevated rates that you've been paying since you've been a loyal customer somewhere for years. TGSinsurance.com. Text money to 232323.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 749 ESPN 97.5. Sub 378-0-3776. What you got? Bring
it. Those influencers out there, those IG influencers are doing some major stuff out there.
They are. I saw a video where they're boarding up houses or something.
Boarding up businesses. Yeah. There's a video that I sent you guys.
I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going
on. Now I gave you context. Yeah. It's a girl who is, she's got a drill in her hand and she's got like a spaghetti strap top.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off shorts, flip flop, or her sandals on, and she's holding a drill. And she's standing there really still.
It was a photo
still.
Op.
Yes, it's a photo op. No flashbang intent needed here. She's standing there with her drill, and then the person who's filming this go on, they flip the camera over to her boyfriend who's taking a picture of her, and there's a worker who's right there, and they're boarding up some store. And she goes, "Thank you so much. I really appreciate it." And then she gives him the drill back and then leaves. And the person taking a video goes, "Boyfriends of Instagram, thanks for all your work, guys. Great job." And then the boyfriend and her getting this tricked out Mercedes and you know, take off. It's like, oh my God, Instagram influencers or wannabe influencers. Of course, somehow they found her. I don't know how Instagram found her, but Instagram found her too. And she's got 8,000 followers. Like, how do you find that? I don't even know. And now her account is private. So she's influencing just the people who follow her.
Yeah.
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 It was an important photo op.
But she was helping. She was helping her community.
Yeah, it was important for people to see her out there on the front lines of, you know, wanting to board up and help the small business owners.
That's what she did. All right. Let's talk a little sports. How about a 22-team NBA return?
Yes.
22 teams. So, did they announce the 22 teams?
No, but everyone figures it's those Western Conference teams who are within a certain amount of games of the 8 seed.
Yeah, but here's the problem is, okay, so...
Screw the East.
So, who's out? Phoenix, Minnesota... Phoenix is 24 out. 24 back.
Your squad's out, John.
The Timberwolves are 30.5 out. Golden State's 35 out.
Well, from the 8 seed, how far are they back?
Well, they're 6 games behind. Phoenix is 6 games behind. But the Spurs are 4 games behind.
Yeah, and I think there's a possibility of a play-in tournament.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Memphis is the 8 seed, and they're going to have to play their way in. So I guess you got to take 4 off of each conference because 8 teams aren't going. There's 30 teams and 22 are going. So in the East, Cleveland and the Hawks are terrible. Detroit is terrible. The Knicks are terrible. But the Bulls are only a game and a half ahead of the Knicks. So the Bulls are in?
Well, how many teams are you taking? Let's look at
22. Well, no, you're taking 22, so it's 16 teams plus 6.
Well, I know, but how many teams are you taking from the West and how many teams are you taking from the East? You may only take like from the West, the difference between 8 and the Spurs is 4 games. So that would be 4 extra teams from the West outside the top 8. So that's 20 teams already. If you go to the East, the Wizards are the closest within 5.5. So there's one team in the East within 5.5 of the final spot, and there are like 4 teams in the West within 4. So how do you divvy up who comes from where?
The point is, 8 are staying home. So are you going to keep all 7, all 7 in the East that are 5.5? The Wizards don't make it because they're 5.5 back.
Yeah. So how do you do it if they're the thing is 22? Are you taking? I don't know. You go all the way to the Suns, and then you take 1 from the East.
Well, you take 7 out in the East and 1 in the West. Golden State, that's 35 games back. That's 17 behind the Grizz.
I vote Twitter poll.
You want the Twitter?
I think we need
to
do Twitter polls and let Twitter decide.
But here's the problem with that, Dell, is Minnesota is 6 and a, is excuse me. Minnesota is 11.5 games behind Memphis. Why should Washington not go, but Minnesota
I'm not
goes?
Saying that should happen. Oh. I'm just saying how do you
better?
Divvy up. Well, who knows? Well, Washington's better.
Washington's better.
Minnesota stinks. They only have 19 wins.
Let's sim a game. Let's get a sim.
What, and what wins if, sim okay, game, Charlotte. Charlotte is 30 games is now seven games behind.
Do you want to leave Michael Jordan's team out?
Do you want to leave Mike out? Is that what you want?
Is that what you're looking to do?
I don't care about Michael Jordan. In fact,
but the NBA does.
No. His star, you heard me. I don't care. His star guard was like, say less. Like, they were mentioning teams who could make it at 22. And Terry Rozier, you know, his big signing this offseason was like, say less. And he put palm trees. Like, I'm going on vacation. I don't want to play. So there.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
Charlotte Hornets have already told you they don't want to be part of it.
Michael Jordan right now, wow. Mr. I'm lifting weights after I lose to the Pistons. Yeah. And the guy is like, palm trees. That's got to sit well with Mike.
Yeah.
Did you just palm tree emoji me? Did you just say 1, 2, 3 Cancun?
Yep, he sure did. He sure just did. He ain't going.
For those who missed that story, Nick Van Exel told it when he used to come in studio with us. The Nick Van Exel stuff was unbelievable. And Nick told the story about how the last day of the season, the LA Lakers couldn't wait to get the season over with. And the players were like, their huddle, they're breaking 1, 2, 3 Cancun. Instead of 1, 2, 3 defense or grind. 1, 2, 3 grind. 1, 2, 3 Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
So they could all get out of there.
And this wasn't it wasn't just the last game of the season. It was it was in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
They were about to get swept by the Jazz, and that's when he said.
And they were getting blown out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and then it was a practice before game 4.
1, 2, 3
Or at least during the series. And he said, so it wasn't like the Lakers are 20 games out and they only have a game. It was, you know, a pretty big deal, but they're getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
And they had had a pretty good run to the finals, maybe a Western Conference finals, probably a little unexpected. And they're like, all right, we're done here. So let's go. 1, 2, 3 Cancun. Wait, you got a Western Conference final game.
So they were, that was that.
I was in LA. I remember it. Yeah.
Oh, so it was a whole thing in LA.
It was a whole thing.
I hadn't heard about it until Nick talked about it.
No, it was a thing because the Lakers, like I said, a bit of an improbable run. Eddie Jones, young Kobe, all those guys are on the team. I think Shaq was on the team too. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to win. So let's go home.
It'll be interesting to see which teams are in, which teams are left.
I mean, I'd
out.
Love to see a selection committee. Why don't you just poll the players on the teams? You really want to do it? Say, okay, we're going to let every player on every team vote. And if you want to play, and whoever has the most amount of players who want to play, they are going to be in consideration. Because if you got Terry Rozier, if you have players saying, nah, we don't want to play, then good.
Yeah.
Then your team, you as an owner will suffer for it. You as a team will suffer for it if your players don't want to play. And I understand, you know, but not everyone can get into a 22-team league. Because they say the NBA and NBA Player Association are still discussing details and format, and there's room for the league to maneuver on the return or on the structure of return to play. The Board of Governors requires a 3/4 passage of the 30 teams on a plan, but there's an expectation among owners that they will fall into line and overwhelmingly approve whatever the commissioner's recommendation is going to be. You know, we'll see. The six teams, it says here, the league has been advancing a plan that would include regular season play-in and playoff games for 16 current teams, and that six more teams within six games of eight seed, of the eight seed, sources said. Those six teams are specifically Pelicans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. Those are the six.
Well, see, if I'm the teams in the East, which are getting left out, if Washington's the only team that is in from the East, and they're taking the other five from the West, I guess the East is weaker, and if you're that bad, if you're the Bulls and the Hornets, and you're 7, 8 games, 9.5 games, the Knicks, if you're out that badly in the East, then you should stay home, I guess. So it's within six games. I hadn't seen that. So Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Portland, plus the Wizards in the East, are the teams that would go, and they would play in. And so it's not an East and West. It's an all NBA, which is going to be interesting to see. First of all, whether or not they keep a play-in format for the playoffs going forward, because that's the thought, is this is going to be a case study. They might do this going forward.
Full scale expansion. You're talking about a six team expansion,
right? And they may go. And the other thing that may go forward is no more conference playoffs. It's everybody just thrown in, and you seed it that way.
But we'll still have conferences for scheduling sakes, I would assume.
Yes, probably. More than likely.
Although, and Dell is somebody who follows premier soccer leagues better. What do you like better? International soccer, where everything is one table, one set of standings, or like we have it with professional sports here?
Well, there are a couple of things. As you mentioned, I do watch the international soccer. Less games, unless you're the MLS. Seems like you play 70, but that's neither here nor there. And you got to think also, most of those countries and landmass are smaller than this country. So travel is not, and you're only playing games once or maybe twice a week. So there is some differences.
Yeah.
I would say you can't really compare. The single table thing is the other thing. Like, there are no playoffs, and we're an American sports culture built on playoffs, so there are some things you can't compare. I think the NBA, for travel purposes, even though these guys are on chartered planes and all that type of stuff, I think a scheduling thing where you are simply playing your conference schedule, then you transition into an all-encompassing playoff with no Eastern Conference, Western Conference, makes the most sense. Because if you're trying to get 82 games, does that mean the Lakers and the Heat play four times a year and they go back and forth and travel? How does that work? I think it makes more sense just to keep the schedule the same.
And yeah, it's an unbalanced schedule.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It has been okay. And then the other thing is, this possibly could last till October 12th, their schedule. The game 7 of the NBA Finals could be October 12th, which is a Monday, heads up against San Diego versus New Orleans on Monday Night Football. But then, for sure, you can't start a season until Christmas.
And
you can't start the next season until Christmas.
And it might be the way they move going forward.
That, and that could also, the NBA, we could see major changes coming out of this. 801 ESPN 97.5.